Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 22. It's a new chapter. The marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. I'll read the first verse, and the second verse is on the board. Sri Maitreya said, after describing the greatness of the emperor's manifold qualities and activities, the sage became silent, that's Kardama Muni, and the emperor, feeling modesty, addressed him as follows. This is Swayambhuva Manu. Manu replied, to expand himself in Vedic knowledge, Lord Brahma, the personified Veda, from his face created you, the Brahmanas, means Kardama Muni, who are full of austerity, knowledge, and mystic power, and are averse to sense gratification. Purport. The purpose of the Vedas is to propagate the transcendental knowledge of the Absolute Truth. The Brahmanas were created from the mouth of the Supreme Person. Therefore, they are meant to spread the knowledge of the Vedas. In order to spread the glories of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that all the Vedas are meant for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's especially mentioned here, Yoga Yuktan Alampatan, that Brahmanas are full of mystic power and are completely averse to sense gratification. Actually, there are two kinds of occupations. One occupation in the material world is sense gratification, and the other occupation is spiritual activity, to satisfy the Lord by His glorification. Those who engage in sense gratification are called demons, and those who spread the glorification of the Lord to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord are called demigods. It's especially mentioned here that the Brahmanas are created from the face of the cosmic personality, or Virat Purusha. Similarly, Kshatriyas are said to be created from his arms. The Vaishyas are created from his waist. And the Shudras are created from his legs. Brahmanas are especially meant for austerity, learning, and knowledge, and are averse to all kinds of sense gratification. Swayambhuva Manu is returning the compliments to Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni has been glorifying Swayambhuva Manu. Now Swayambhuva Manu is in turn glorifying him as a representative of the ideal Brahminical class. He is Tapavidya Yoga Yuktan. Tapavidya Yoga Yuktan. He's exemplary in the category, these categories, Tapavidya Yoga Yuktan. As an exemplary Brahman, he is full of austerity, knowledge, wisdom, and mystic power, Yoga Yuktan. So Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying these are the qualities of the Brahmanas. And of course, Prabhupada's intention was to create a society of intelligent Vaishnavas who could guide the humanity. So when we read these qualities, we can think, Prabhupada's saying that Brahmanas are meant for austerity, learning, and knowledge, and are averse to all kinds of sense gratification. Jai ho, Radha Madhav ki jai ho. So Brahmanas, of course, we're Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas, in one sense, more than a Brahmana. So this is actually the characteristics of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Austerity, wisdom, knowledge, and mystic power. Of course, we don't display the ordinary mystic powers. Anima Siddhi and Lagima Siddhi become smaller than the smallest or lighter than the lightest. Some yoga groups are very concerned with developing yoga powers. Lagima Siddhi, a very popular group. It's called flying. They call it flying. Lagima. Lagima means to become like a cotton swab. And one very popular yoga group, it's called City Yoga. And they tell you to meditate on a piece of cotton floating in the air. And you become very adept at the pranayama and that yoga process. Then you can do what is called hopping. And you're sitting in one place and you're meditating and you can actually, it's called levitation, the City Yoga levitation course, where you can raise your body off the ground about 1 inch and go about 1 inch to the side. Go up like this. You go up and then over like this. Oh, it's very good. Very high class perfection. City yoga. But our yoga, our perfection is something different. Our perfection is the perfection of Prem City. So our mystic powers, this Yoga Yuktan, Prabhupada says, the mystic powers of the Brahmanas. Of course, one of the primary qualities of a Brahman is Satyam, truthfulness. And it is told that the devotees, of course, are the paragons of truth, the exemplars of truth. And if a devotee lives according to the principles that we are adopting, then after 12 years of following these principles, then whatever a devotee says will become true. It's called Satyavacha. It's one form of Vag Siddhi. Vag Siddhi. The perfection of speech. This is Yoga Yuktan, mystic power. That if a devotee never tells a lie for 12 years, because he's living the truth. He's a servant of the Absolute Truth. He's propagating the Absolute Truth. He's surrendered to the Absolute Truth. He's meditating the Absolute Truth. He's speaking the Absolute Truth. And on all sides, his life is pure. And his activities are absorbed in the Absolute Truth. So after 12 years of such a life, the devotee, whatever he says will become true. So people often ask for blessings from devotees. Oh, please bless me that I can return to Mayapur. Someone may go to Jnanivas and say, please bless me, you're a Dham Vasi. You're Madhav's eternal associate. Please bless me that I can return to Mayapur. He says, yes, yes. Nisringadeva will bless you, Madhav will bless you, Prabhupada will bless you. You'll come back to Mayapur very soon and render service. And a devotee who receives that blessing, he's very grateful. But at the same time, he's a little bit doubtful. Because he knows that when he goes back to his country, that he has no money, and he has no job, and he has all kinds of debts. And he's thinking, although Jnanivas Prabhu gave me this blessing, that I will come back to Mayapur very soon, I can't imagine how it will happen. Because I have to go back to my country and get a job and pay back the loans. I took loans to come to India this time. The devotee goes back to his country and then the first day he gets to the country, he goes to the temple. When he's at the temple, he meets one devotee. He said, please, I want you to help me with one job for 1 week. If you can help me for 1 week, I'll give you a nice pay. So he works for 1 week and after 1 week, that devotee gives him $1,000. He says, oh, I have $1,000. Okay, I'm back to Mayapur. So, this is the words of the devotees come true. This is their mystic power. And the greatest mystic power of a devotee is Prabhupada had the greatest mystic power. Is Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Prabhupada established ISKCON to make the entire universe happy. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Let the entire universe be full of happiness. Prabhupada wanted each and every member, a living entity of this earth planet to be happy. That was his satya sankalpa. That was his resolution. That was his intention. And he established a society to execute that sankalpa, fulfill that sankalpa. And we see that anyone that comes in contact with the society, they experience the mystic power of Srila Prabhupada. There is total transformation. From a life of darkness, ignorance, sadness, and frustration by this mystic desire, this Prabhupada exhibiting his mystic power, thousands and thousands of human beings around the planet have entered into a life of sunshine life, happy life, fulfilling life, hopeful life. This is real mystic power. Once when Prabhupada was interviewed by a newspaper reporter, he says, Swamiji, there are so many yogis here in New York. And they're claiming that they're teaching this city yoga and this special meditations where you can realize you're God in 5 or 6 days, and you can fly, you can do hopping, hop around the room, and various mystic cities. They're learning. So all these yogis from India are performing many miracles amongst the people. So what miracles are you doing? This newspaper reporter asked Prabhupada, what is your yoga yuktan? What is your display of mystic power? Yoga cities. And Prabhupada, he was very quiet for a moment, looking at this person. And then Prabhupada, with this motion of his hand, because in Prabhupada's darshan room, there was about 50 devotees that were attending that darshan with the newspaper reporter. And Prabhupada said, this is my mystic power. This is my miracle. This is a miracle. Because mystic power is miraculous. If someone can walk on water, that's miraculous. It's amazing. No one can do it. It's chamatkar. So Prabhupada said, these are my miracles. There are 50 miracles here. So this is the mystic power that Prabhupada displayed by converting animals into human beings, and human beings into demigods, and demigods into pure devotees of the Lord. This is the greatest mystic power. Prabhupada is exporting jivas out of the material world. Prabhupada started an export business. It's the International Society for Exports. Everybody's so much involved with business. What is your occupation? Oh, I do business, imports and exports. So Prabhupada is doing the same thing. Golokara Prema Dadana Harinam Sankirtan. Prabhupada's import business is that he's bringing the pure name, the Shuddha Nam, from the spiritual world, and then he's placing it in the heart of all of his followers and dedicated servants and family members. That's the import. Then the export is he's sending us back to Goloka Vrindavan. In comes ingress to the holy name, and then progress back to Godhead. So this is the mystic powers. And so now, because we receive this legacy of miracles, our founder was the greatest miracle worker that the entire universe has ever seen. There was one biography that was written by some followers of Neem Karoli Baba. Neem Karoli Baba was a Hanuman Bhakta, Ramanandi Sadhu, who lived back about 20, 30 years ago. He left this world. Contemporary of Srila Prabhupada. And they wrote his biography. It's called A Miracle of Divine Love. A Miracle of Divine Love. No, it was A Miracle of Love. That was called A Miracle of Love. So I was staying in one ashram in Vrindavan, and the owner of that ashram was a disciple of Neem Karoli. He said, please read this book. So I did. And I thought, okay, miracle of love, that's nice. Well, what is love? Love my body, love my country, love my dog. Love India, I love my India. They write on the back of the tractors. And UP, they write on the back of the tractor trolleys, I love my India. And Bharat, keep Pyar hai. Bharat mein pyar hai. I love my India. But Prabhupada, he was a miracle worker of divine love. He gave Krishna prem. Because Neem Karoli gave love, it's a fact. He was a loving person and he was a mystic. He would be in one place at one time, and in the afternoon he would be in another place. He had some mystic powers. At least that's what is told in his biography. But still, he's moving around somewhere in the material world. And if his followers get his powers and they come in touch with his miracle mystic powers, then they'll move around in the material world. But Prabhupada's miracle of divine love is that if we come in touch with his mystic powers, we move out of this material world once and for all. Punar janman vidyate. Never again take birth. Back home, back to Godhead. So therefore, this is a miracle of divine love. So Prabhupada is saying that Brahmanas, they have these qualities. Tapo vidya yukta yoga yuktan. Yoga yuktan means there's no other necessity. Yuktan. There's no other requirement. There's no other requirement. Yoga yuktan. There's no other requirement for Brahmanas to have than tapo and vidya. when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he met Mahaprabhu in Puri, then he offered his obeisances because he understood that Mahaprabhu was giving something very special, some special shiksha, Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He said, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartam Eka Purusha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripambudhir Yastam Aham Prapadye Kripambudhir Yastam Aham Prapadye. Oh, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who are you? You are that Purana Purusha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, you are that Eka Purusha, Purushottam Sri Krishna, Madhav Govinda Damodar. You are that person. You are the oldest person. But you're so young. You're only 24 years old, such a beautiful visage, such an effulgent complexion, so handsome. And even he was saying, you're too young. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya say, you're too young for sannyas. You're too young. You're too beautiful. Sundara. Sundara Rupa. Too beautiful. But now he's understanding who he is. He says, you are that Krishna. You are that original person at Purusha. Eka Purusha Purana. And you're the oldest of the oldest persons. Shikshartam. And you're giving some shiksha. The most valuable shikshartam. Most valuable shiksha, meaningful shiksha you're giving to us. This is Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. And Prabhupada would translate this, that Lord Chaitanya was teaching detachment knowledge. Detachment knowledge. Very interesting. Vairagya Vidya. Vairagya, detachment. Vidya, knowledge. Shikshartam. Lord Chaitanya was teaching detachment knowledge. Like different universities are specializing in knowledge of medicine, knowledge of computers, knowledge of engineering, detachment knowledge. So he said, renunciation through wisdom. In other words, by performing devotion, we get a taste. And that taste brings with it a realization. And that realization brings wisdom, which makes us renounced. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. This, your devotees, they're characterized by these two qualities. These are the characteristics of the Vaishnavas, of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, without any separate endeavor. Swayambhuva Manu is glorifying Kardama Muni. You are a very wonderful Brahmin. This is tapa, vidya, yukta yoga. You are so austere. You're a very austere personality and you have so much knowledge. So these are the characteristics of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. Because of the taste of devotion, the sweet taste of devotion, then Tuchavat. Tyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati, Shrenim Sada, Tuchavat. Very interesting word, Tuchavat. Tuchavat. Tuchavan means having the quality of insignificance. Tuchavat. Insignificant. Shrenim Mandalapati. The six Goswamis, Gopi Bhava Rasamritabdi Lahari, Kalola Magna Mahur. They were immersed in the Gopi Bhava, the sweet taste of devotion, the sweet taste of Braja Bhakti, the sweet taste of Brajanam. The Mahamantra is Brajanam. Krishna, all these three names are all about Krishna and Vrindavan, Radharaman Ram. Shyam Sundar Krishna and Hari, that lion-like personality who attracts the heart of Radha. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So this is this sweet taste of devotion. It's in the heart of the devotees. This Braja Bhakti, so automatically, Tuchavat, the six Goswamis, because they are relishing the sweetness of devotion, then Tyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati Shreinim Sada Tuchavat. Tuchavat means da. Like this. Insignificant. It is. What is this? Shrenim, Mandalapati. Mandalapati, to be surrounded by aristocracy, wealth, influence, power, money. As one great Acharya said, love above power. Love above power, mercy above justice. This is Krishna. This is Vrindavan Krishna. Love above power. Madhurya is greater than Vaishvarya. Lakshmi gives up Aishwarya Purushottam to run after Madhurya Purushottam. And she comes to Braj to perform austerities in Lakshmivan, Bailvan. Because of the sweetness. She's attracted to the sweetness. So this is the way that we develop this ability to be detached. Tuchavat, insignificant. Wealth, aristocracy, nadana najana na sundarim. It all becomes tuchavat. Because of the experience of Krishna Nam, Krishna's sweetness. So I was this quality tapa vidya, yoga yuktan. These qualities are united with the devotee. These are the Gaudiya Vaishnava, these qualities are yoga yuktan. There is no other requirement, yoga yuktan. There is nothing else needed, and nothing else he is made of but this tapa, and vidya. The knowledge of Krishna and the sweetness of bhakti brings renunciation, tapa. Of course, today is an appropriate day to talk about this one quality, tapa, austerity. Brahma's power came from tapa, tapasya. The word tap means fire. When one performs austerity, he burns a little bit. When we perform tapasya, ekadasi brat, ekadasi tapasya, we burn a little bit. The mind gets a little hot. The body gets a little hot. We may even perspire profusely at a certain juncture of ekadasi. If we're observing nirjala ekadasi, everything's okay, and all of a sudden we break out in a cold sweat. Middle of the night, afternoon. We know by direct experience. I remember giving a lecture one time on nirjala ekadasi, and I wasn't agitated. I was just speaking. All of a sudden, my whole body started sweating. Because the fire, the jataragni, when you deny any food in the body, the jataragni, the fire digestion, moves through the body. It starts consuming the body. Tapa, burning. And everyone knows how the mind gets burned when we perform austerity. Oh, it's too difficult. It's too difficult to do nirjala ekadasi. Let me drink some water. Let me take some fruit. So tap means burning. Prabhupada defines tapasya as voluntarily undergoing some pain in order to achieve some higher goal. Tolerating the mental, the pushings of the mind. So this is tapasya, this is ekadasi. This is ekadasi brat. It is one of the recommended bratas for the Vaishnavas. It is actually anukul for bhakti. Because we spend the whole time, we spend more time hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is all of our austerities are not about separately gaining mystic power. Our austerities are about pleasing Krishna. This is the tapa, to please Krishna. Krishna is pleased. All right, let me do it. This chaturmasya brata, we give up certain food items. Or some people do more severe bratas. Ekadasi, we give up something. We give up something to please Krishna. So our tapasya is based on love. Because we want to love Krishna. And he says, it makes me happy. When Baladeva Vidyabhushan, when he's explaining in the Vishnu Sahasranam, he's giving one commentary. He says, actually, because there's one verse where it says that one name for Vishnu means he increases the tapasya. Vishnu increases the tapasya of the brahmanas. Brahmana Vardhana, or something like this. So he increases their tapa. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, tapa Sri Krishna, he says, tapa Sri Hari Kirtanam. Tapa Sri Hari Kirtanam. The real austerity is Sri Hari Kirtan. This is the real tapasya. To engage in Hari Kirtan. And this is the most pleasing tapasya and the most pleasing service that one can render for the satisfaction of the Lord. So when Prabhupada describes ekadasi brata, which is a tapa, an austerity, a nectar devotion, he says, on ekadasi, we should spend the whole day remembering the pastimes of Govinda and incessantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. Kirtaniya Sadahari. This is what we should do on ekadasi. The whole day we should spend remembering Govinda Leela and chanting the holy name. And Baladeva is saying, this is the meaning of tapa. Tapa Sri Hari Kirtanam. So what a beautiful tapa, what a beautiful form of tapasya to engage in Hari Kirtan. Because this is what the Brijvasis do. This is what they do. They observe this Ekadasi and they chant the holy name, at least in Boma Vrindavan. And Garga Samhita, the sadhana siddha gopis, they met Radharani. These were the sadhana siddha gopis. They had not yet entered the Leela. They were approaching, developing their Purva Rag. They wanted to become qualified to serve Krishna in their Siddhadeya in Boma Vrindavan. So one day they approached Srimati Radharani. They said, "Oh Radhika, how can we please Krishna? How can we increase our Purva Rag and become qualified to serve in the Leela? Because we are newcomer gopis here. We are sadhana siddha gopis. We have not developed the full bhavas and all the different aspects of sneha man pranaya, rag, in order to serve the intimate pastimes of you and your beloved, Shamsundar. Please, can you tell us something we can do to please Krishna, so by which we become qualified and our hearts become totally prepared and ready to serve Krishna in his leelas?" So then Radharani replied, "Yes, you can perform Ekadasi Vrata." Oh no, Ekadasi Vrata. It means even when we enter Boma Vrindavan, there's Ekadasi Vrata going on. At least in Garga Muni is telling this, in Garga Samhita, with the sadhana siddha gopis. So then Radharani explains that this is very pleasing to Krishna. Ekadasi is called Harivasara. Harivasara means to reside with Hari. This is the meaning. It says Ekadashi. Ekadashi means the 11 senses. The 11 senses, Ekadash. Ekadashi means our 11 senses, our Panch Gyanindriya, our 5 knowledge acquiring senses, and our Panch Karmindriya, our 5 working senses, and the controller of everything, the mind. The 10 senses plus the mind makes 11 senses, that's Ekadashi. So Ekadashi means to absorb the 11 senses in pleasing activities, or activities which give pleasure to Lord Hari. This is called Harivasara. And when we do that, then we'll be living right next to Hari. Hari is very accessible on 2 days a month, on Ekadasi. He says, "Yes, take me, I'm yours," on these 2 days. These are the days of Hari, Harivas, the day of Hari. And it's also, we observe Upavas. Upavas means fasting. Upavas. This is generally told. But upavas means to sit near, upa-asana. Upa-asana. To sit near the Lord. And how can we sit near the Lord? We can only sit near the Lord if our senses are dedicated to His service. We can only sit beside the Lord if our mind is dedicated to His service. Savaya mana krishna padara vindayor. Vachamshi guna vaikunta gunarana varnane. Ambrish, his mind was fixed at the feet of the Lord. So he was sitting with the Lord. So close to the Lord. Saranam ridyam mayam, saranam ridyatvaham. So close he was sitting with the Lord. Ambarish was sitting in the heart of the Lord. Savaya mana krishna padara vindiyora. So this is upavas. To sit next to the Lord. Because all of our 11 senses, what are we made of? We're made of senses. Our body is made of senses and mind. So Ekadashi means to take those 11 attributes of the human being, the 11 senses, mind and 10 senses, and dedicate them to the pleasing service of the Lord for 24 hours, if possible, or at least all our waking hours. So this is Ekadasi. So this is Moksha, the Ekadasi. One gets liberation by following Ekadasi. This is the day Bhagavad Gita appeared. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Anyone, it's very interesting because you observe Ekadasi Vrata, you'll get liberated. Or if you follow the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, you also get liberated. More than liberation, manmanabhavamad bhakta, madhyajimanamaskuru, manmanabhava. We become lovers of Krishna. This is the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means this, to become a lover of Krishna, a Krishna premi. So this is the ultimate liberation. This is the ultimate mystic power. This is the ultimate tapa and vidya and yoga yuktan. Is to attain Krishna prema. So on this day, Krishna spoke to Bhagavad Gita. Jai. To what? To liberate everyone in his loving service. Sarva dharman prityaja. So this is interesting. This mokshada, that which gives liberation. Muktida. Mukunda, muktida. Krishna's name is Mukunda, and he spoke the Gita on this day. This is Prem Dharma is in the Bhagavad Gita. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me. I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. This is Gopi Bhav. Gopis are seeing Krishna everywhere. The pure devotees are seeing Krishna everywhere. So Krishna is teaching Braj Bhakti, pure bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita. When we attain that, there's no more birth. So this is Moksha Ekadasi. On this day, there is one king, King Vaikanasa. King Vaikanasa was the king of Champak, Champak Nagar. He was a very pious and religious Vaishnav king, and everyone was engaged in Vishnu Bhakti in his kingdom. But one night, King Vaikanasa had a dream. In his dream, he saw his father. His father came in a dream, and he was crying, and he was in a terrible condition. He said, "Oh, my dear son, you're a king, you're enjoying, but I'm in hell because of some misdeed in my last life. I committed some sin and I'm suffering in hell." And it said, "What is that sin that I committed?" And it says, "I enjoyed with my wife during her cycle, during her contamination period." This is told. "So now I am suffering. So please, can you do something?" So when the king, King Vaikanasa, woke up from that dream of his father suffering in hell, he became very disturbed. He couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep, he lost all happiness in his kingdom. And everyone said, "What's wrong? I had this dream, and I'm so concerned and worried about my father." So his advisor said, "You should go see Parvat Muni." Parvat Muni is a great rishi. Parvat Rishi, Parvat Muni. So he met Parvat Muni and told him the situation. And Parvat Muni said, "Yes, you should perform this Ekadasi coming. Moksha Ekadasi, that will liberate your father. You'll get liberation." So then the king and his wife and children, they all performed this Ekadasi brat, Moksha Ekadasi. But before doing the brat, they took sankalpa. They made a resolution or intention. They stated their intention. What is their desire that they want to attain by performing this Ekadasi, Moksha Ekadasi? They wanted that whatever sukriti or punya fall or piety that they would attain by performing Moksha Ekadasi, it should be given to their father so he could become liberated from hell. So they performed the Ekadasi Brat. And it says that on this particular Ekadasi, the Lord is very pleased by offerings of Tulsi Manjaris. So anyone who has Tulsi or has access to Tulsi, they should collect lots of Tulsi Manjaris and offer them to the feet of Madhav, Narasringa, Bhagavan, Gauranga. This is one of the special activities to do today. The Lord, of course, He's always pleased and every time, every day with Tulsi Manjaris, but especially it's recommended at this particular Ekadasi to offer Tulsi Manjaris at the feet of Krishna. So they perform this austerity, this Ekadasi Brat, this tapa, and then all the result went to their father, and then the father was liberated from hell. And they saw that he was going back, and he went back to Swargaloka, and then he performed devotion, and he got ultimate liberation. That's how the story is described in the Ekadasi Mahatmyam. So the principle I want to close on is this point of sankalpa. Sankalpa, performing austerity and giving the benefit to someone else. Just like you have money in your bank account, you may transfer it to somebody else's bank account. You tell the banker, "I'll give this money to my son in Calcutta and you're in Australia." So piety or punya can be transferred or can be given to someone else. It's told in Padma Puran, if one performs a brat, Ekadasi brat, for the benefit of someone else, he takes a sankalpa, "I want whatever punya or sukriti, anything that may come to me, my Lord, if you want to give me something, I'm not desirous, I'm simply doing this austerity to please you. However, if there's some punya fall, there's some result or fruits of this activity, then please you donate that to so-and-so." So if someone takes this sankalpa and performs Ekadasi, then you will receive 100 times the benefit of performing that brata. And the person that you choose to give that result to, he will receive full benefit. For example, you have a mother. She's not very favorable to you being in ISKCON Mayapur. So you think, "My Lord, whatever result I get from performing this Ekadasi brat, please give it to my mother so she becomes favorable and lets me stay in the Brahmachari ashram. peacefully. This is a type of sankalpa. Then you'll see some result. So similarly, on this particular day, at least our sankalpa is that we're performing the Sikkhadasi Brat of a particular type. That's the individual, what that brat is, but the same. And my dear Lord Krishna, if you're going to give me any result or Sukriti from this, please give it to Pujyapad Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. So that whatever benefit's coming to me, give it to him. So he very quickly starts walking and comes back to Mayapur and joins all of us. So this is a sankalpa. So by doing that, having that sankalpa to benefit someone else or give the result to someone else that they'll become takat, shadir takat, they'll become healthy very soon, that person will get that benefit, that sukriti fall, that punya will go to that person, and you, who has that mood of compassion or desiring to help someone else, you'll get 100 times benefit of your own austerity. So it's very good business. If we're doing transcendental business, it's very good to be compassionate. It's very good for the heart to be compassionate and think, how can I benefit someone else? Can I help someone? Can I promote them? So this is the display of the mystic power of the devotees. The devotees have power. The power of purity. Purity is a force. And that force can be transferred to others. So Sukriti is a type of acquired power. By bhakti bhajan, one gets power. The Sukriti, Shakti. So we can close on this by saying that mystic power that devotees have, they use for the benefit of others. They don't use for their own self-aggrandizement or to become for their own pratishtata. We have, every devotee is a reservoir of mystic power. The power of Ashavad, Ashavad Shakti. The power of compassion. The power of benediction. Every devotee has the power of Mokshada because we worship Mukunda. We worship the Lord of Liberation, Mukunda. He's the Lord of Liberation whose face is beautiful like a Kunda flower. His mouth is beautiful teeth like rows of pearls. So we worship the giver of liberation. So we can give liberation to someone else. We can liberate someone. Do you want to be liberated? We can go up to someone, sir, do you want moksha? Do you want liberation? Yes, yes, please give me moksha. All right. Are you ready? Are you ready for me? I'll liberate you. Are you listening? Okay. Please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And you chant this Maha Mantra, you attain Krishna Prema. And then you can decide, do you want to stay here or go there? Or whatever the Lord decides. If you stay here in Krishna Prema, that's very nice. If you go to Krishna's eternal pastimes in Krishna Prema, that's very nice. Here or there, it'll be very nice for you. So devotees, we would close on this note that this is a very powerful Ekadasi, Moksha Ekadasi. Krishna is telling Yudhisthira that anyone performs this Ekadasi gets free from all his sinful reactions. He becomes liberated from all sinful reactions. So the path of pure bhakti becomes wide open. The path of Shudanam becomes much easier. So we would like to close the discussion with a humble request that, okay, everyone performs Ekadasi, but why? I would like to ask everyone, let everyone do Nirjal. Let everyone perform Nirjal Ekadasi today. Because the more we sacrifice, the more we gain. So the purpose of our doing Nirjal Ekadasi is to benefit someone who's very near and dear to all of us. Nirjal Ekadasi. Nirjal Ekadasi, we're performing Nirjal to benefit someone who's very near and dear to us. Prabhupada's Priya Shishya. Our Priya Bandhu. Our Priya Bandhu and Prabhupada's Priya Shishya. His beloved dearmost devotee. One of his beloved dearmost devotees, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. So there's so many hundreds of devotees here. And if we can all, let's say, because whatever a great man does, everyone follows. So I can say that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we will try to perform Nirjal Brata today. And our sankalpa is whatever benefit or sukriti will come by that Nirjal Brata in Mayapur Dham, on Moksha Ekadasi, in Margashirsha Mas, right? Shukla Paksha, such, on the Ganga Tata Mayapur Me, Achuta Gotra. Right? The Brahmanas, they tell you all these things. Shukla Paksha, this is Margashirsha Mas. This is Krishna's month. This is the month of Krishna, Margashirsham. This is Margashirsha, Margashirsh. This is Krishna's month. And Moksha Ekadasi. This is Krishna's Muktida. So we will try to perform this Vrata by the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas and holy name. So we'd like to beg some charity because we're Bhikshu. We're also Bhikshu, Chidandi Bhikshu. So, because sometimes people say, "Oh, Maharaj, what can I do for you? Can I give you some money, this, that?" No, I don't want any of these things. So I want to beg some Bhikshu from the Mayapur community. Because we've been giving some Harikatha and doing our prescribed service of speaking something. So I don't want any dakshin, I don't want any silk cloth, but I want to beg this one dakshin today. I want to beg all the members of the Mayapur community to please observe Nirjal Ekadasi Vrat. Nirjal Ekadasi Vrat the key! And you can look up Nirjal on the folio and see what Prabhupada says. He says, Ekadasi means no eating, drinking, Nirjal. There's one statement like this, you can see. Of course, Prabhupada made it very easy for us, we know that. But a life, easy life and Krishna consciousness go ill together. Prabhupada said, easy life and Krishna consciousness, they don't go well. So this is, I would like to beg for this dan, this dakshin, from all the members of the community. Please, I beg you all to please observe Nirjal Ekadasi Vrat with the sankalpa that the Sukriti Phal will go to Srila Jayapataka Maharaj so that he very soon becomes takat, strong, robust, and comes back here to Mayapur as soon as possible. At least before Nityananda Trayodasi. Srila Jayapataka Maharaj ki jai. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and embarrass anyone. But remember, tapa, the word tapas is tapa vidya yoga yuktan. These two qualities should be unified with us. Yoga yuktan. We have yuktan means no other requirement, no other necessity. All we need is tapa and vidya. And tapa means, Prabhupada, in one place he says, tapasya means, what does tapasya mean? What does tapa mean? The difficulty and trouble that a disciple undertakes to carry out the order of the spiritual master. This is tapasya. Whatever hardship or difficulty, our guru gives us an order. Please make the deities of Panchatattva to Bharat Das. This is your seva to Prabhupada and Guru. So now, what tapasya? The hardship and difficulty and obstacles that he has to endure to fulfill that order, that is tapasya. Whatever difficulty we take to fulfill and carry out the order of the spiritual master, that is tapa. So remember, tapa means burn. So if we choose to do Nirjal Ekadasi, I warn everybody, you may burn up. Your brain may burn, your mind may burn, your body may burn. But tolerate. Tatikshva Karunika. Just tolerate it. Because why do we tolerate? Why do we perform austerities? Because of love. Because we love Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. We want to show our love by burning up. We'll burn up in the fire of tapasya. At least this one day. So that he can become completely free from his difficulty and join us. This is mokshada. We want him to become mokshada. Free from whatever physical problems he's pretending to undergo for our benefit to increase our devotion and bhakti. This is an opportunity for all of us to get serious on this one day and do Nirjal Ekadasi. Prabhupada says in one tape, there are many devotees in Vrindavan. They do Nirjal Ekadasi Vrata. They don't even drink a drop of water in 24 hours and they stay up all night chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, I've seen there are many devotees like this in Vrindavan. So this is also Vrindavan. Mayapur is Vrindavan. So we should become one of those many devotees that Prabhupada says doesn't drink a drop of water on Ekadasi. You can do it. We should not defeat ourselves before we try. Oh, I can't do it. I've never done it. I won't do it. I can't do it. I've never done it. I won't do it. This is called defeatist attitude. We should say, I never did it, but I'll try. I never did Nirjal Ekadasi, but I'll try. And by the mercy of Guru and Guranga, and in the holy name, maybe it'll be possible. I hope I'll try. For we want to do this for the, not for us. Whether we live or die, it doesn't matter. But let us, out of our loving attachment for someone else that's so much blessings and power will come from this, that's what I want to do it. This is a way of showing. It's a burden of love. Tapasya is a burden of love. We're carrying a burden of love for our devotees, for our guru, and for Krishna. So we want to do something extra. They say, go the extra mile. Everyone can do it. Old people, young people, anyone can perform. And it's very, very powerful. Because in that fire, when you burn up, what's being burned up there is material desires. Laziness is burned up in the fire of tapasya. Lack of determination is burned up in the fire of tapasya. Aparads are burned up. The tendency to commit aparads are burned up in the fire of tapasya. And lethargy is burned up in the fire of tapasya. It is a fire. When you have a fire, swaha, swaha, you burn up all these grains. The grains are the sinful desires. Papurusha lives in the grain, in anna, kana, papurusha. So when we perform austerity, there's a yajna fire, yajna tap. The fire in our body is burning up the seeds of sinful desire. Swaha, lust. Swaha, greed. Swaha, anger. Swaha, envy. Swaha, intoxication. Swaha, madness. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. It's all burned up in the fire. Just imagine, you're on fire, and what's being consumed by that fire? Your mind is burning, your heart and body is burning. And your mind is saying, no, drink, drink, drink. Water, water, food. Oh, little, torasab. Apa fal. A little fruit, little something. No, forget it. We're expressing our love today, love for Guru and Krishna. Say no to the mind, say yes to love of God. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. There's a question. Question.
Clarification that sankalpa, because sometimes when we take that ekatibrat, we want to have some benefit for ourselves. But the whole meaning, as you explained, is even more pious, that bhakti siddhi, to get that austerity and that brata, nirmala brata, whatever, to others, like Pitakamara. So, you explain one benefit that maybe some lady or some your disciple they get when you do the sankalpa brata for that benefit, and that happens something miraculous in the family with the husband. You can repeat that story.
I've had experience in preaching that oftentimes grihastha couples they say, oh, my husband, this is like congregational people that aren't initiated. See, my husband's very interested in Krishna consciousness, or I'm very interested in Krishna consciousness, but my husband not. Or the husband says, I'm very interested, but my wife is not. What to do? And generally we say, pray to Prabhupada, pray to Nityananda, pray to Krishna in the heart, do your bhakti. We tell like this. So then when I came across this principle in Padma Puran, and of course, this all throughout Shastras, you see this principle transferring punya to someone else, especially in Ekadasi Mahatmyam. There's many, many stories that one princess's wife died on Ekadasi night doing nirjal, King Shobhana. So then she performed Ekadasi and gave the result to him, and he became back to life. There's many things. So when I heard this principle, I started advising people. I have about 5 or 6 examples already. I say, listen, why don't you do a very strict Ekadasi, but take the sankalpa that the benefit, the sukriti, will go to your husband or wife, that they will change their mind and become more interested, or more, at least more favorable. So it gave them something tangible they could do. I say, if you can perform nirjala Ekadasi, the more you sacrifice, the more you attain. Yetamam prapadyante, as you surrender unto me, I reward you. So nirjala is more difficult, so now Krishna reciprocates more. So these different people, they started performing this nirjala Ekadasi, instead of going into the long story. But the result was phenomenal. Like one lady's husband, he was so-called Hindu, they're Hindus. He was completely against Krishna consciousness. The wife couldn't even have a spiritual book inside the house. I mean, visible inside the house. He would go to work and she would unlock her Elmira and take out Bhagavad Gita and read it. Then if he would come home, like by surprise, he would come home and get something. Oh, my husband! She'd take the Bhagavad Gita, lock it in Elmira. He didn't want to even see a spiritual book in his house, Bhagavad Gita. That's what such a high class Hindu he was, is. So she was praying for years. She was praying since her birth. She's been a devotee, you know, pious religious family, worshiper of Krishna, and she was nothing was happening. So then I said, why don't you do this Ekadasi? So she started doing Ekadasi Vrata. Then one by one, she started calling me, oh, guess what? This is happening, that's happening, this is happening. And many, many things happened. And the final thing that happened is that when they bought a new house, they made a temple of Krishna in the house. And the husband took me to Vrindavan, or I was in Vrindavan, he took me to Vrindavan to buy deities of Radha and Krishna. That was their idea, his idea. And then he bought his wife an apartment in Vrindavan. So, and this all happened in different stages. There were many other things. It was like a sequence. And she would call me. She couldn't believe it, that this magic was happening. And when this happened with one person, then I started advising other people. So far I've advised 6 different people about this principle of taking sankalpa, and I've seen fantastic, miraculous results by the mercy of Krishna. Because 2 things are happening. One thing is Krishna upholds the words of his devotees. And that's a type of mystic power. As I mentioned, if a devotee blesses you to come back to Mayapur. So Krishna upholds the words of the devotees, and he upholds the Shastra. The Shastras are him. Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaham. I am the Vedas. So in the Shastras it's telling that you can donate Sukriti to someone else and they get tremendous benefits. So it has to happen. Krishna's telling it. So it really happens. Of course, we're doubtful. We're empirical. We're scientists by training, by education. So we doubt it. So now we have 6 clinical experiments. We've experimented 6 times with this principle of sankalpa and benefiting someone else. And 6 times we've seen fantastic, fabulous results. It really works. The Shastras are true. They're factual. They're scientific. So take advantage of it and employ this principle in preaching to advise people. Yes, you can do like this. And it's a very good practice because you're meditating the whole time, you're performing Ekadasi, and you're thinking good thoughts about your husband, or your good thoughts about your wife. Let them be benefited. Let them become inclined towards Krishna consciousness. Krishna give them the result. And Krishna gives them the result. This husband is chanting 10 rounds a day now. Unbelievable. I myself was amazed as I started to hear the reports because I'm pretty doubtful. I'm very doubtful about these things. And when I saw what's happening, I became very encouraged. Wow, it really works. It's really true. The Shastras really work. They're really scientific. And with such a gross example, a person so far removed from Krishna consciousness, non-vegetarian, completely against seeing a Shastra, and now he's vegetarian, and pretty soon he'll get initiated, a couple of years. So this is a miracle. This is Prabhupada's blessing on everyone. So, yes, one question there. One lady has a question.
Maharaj, actually, most of us has already taken Charanamrit. So, is it allowed in Nijala Ekadashi?
The question is, can you take Charanamrit on Ekadashi? Is that what she's saying? That was. Well, there's different points. One thing is that it says in Ekadashi, there's certain things that don't break Ekadasi. And one of them is taking water, following the orders of the spiritual master, taking Charanamrita, taking medicine. If one takes these on Ekadasi, it's not... Because we're talking about Nirjal. Charanamrita is not water. Charanamrita is liquid prem. So liquid prem has nothing to do with Bhumi or Apo Nalo Vayu. It has nothing to do with the elements of this material world. It is transcendental. It is another form of Goloka Prem. Prem Nam, Prem Charanamrita. So if you take in Charanamrita, then that's very good. Some devotees, they don't take anything. Sometimes, in one Shastra I read, it says, when the Acharya was asked, he said, yes, you can take as much Charanamrita as you can drown a mustard seed. Sorso Beej Magana. Magana? Magana? As you can drown a mustard seed. You can take that much Charanamrita, which means a half a drop, which is practically nothing. It's another way of saying don't even take Charanamrita. But in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says these things don't break the Ekadasi. So if someone's doing Nirjal, obviously if you take water, it's breaking. But taking water on a regular Ekadasi is not breaking Ekadasi. But Nirjal, you can't take a drop of water. But Charanamrita, personally, I don't take Charanamrita. I take a little bit, I put on my head. I take a small drop and I put in my palm and I put on my head. Shirasa tarahamyaham. And that way I honor the Charanamrita. But it's also not breaking. And you have to understand that Charanamrita is not water. So you continue doing Nirjal and you get the benefit. Some microphone?
Hare Krishna. Since I have come to Mayapur, I am doing Nirjal Ekadashi, not even taking a drop of water and not even Charanamrita. So first I was feeling difficulty when I was in Bhubaneswar, ISKCON. So this when I came to Mayapur, this was my third Nirjal Ekadashi. But now I am regularly doing it. First I felt difficult. Then now I am alright. I am fully feeling more enthusiastic and more strength is coming to me. So my question is that on Dasami day and Dwadasi day, I usually take one prasad during the day and night. So I want some comment about it. On Dasami day, what kind of prasad should I take? It is advised that we should not take prasad in the night. So usually I take in the daytime.
You're doing everything very well. Only one point I can say, because I understand the sincerity of your delivery, but just as a side point, not applying to you, but it says if one becomes proud of their austerity, then they lose the result of their austerity. It doesn't apply to you, you're just stating, you're giving a personal testimony about how it becomes more easy as you practice austerity. There are some devotees in Vrindavan that have been doing Nirjal for 28 years. Nirjal Ekadasi. So it gets easier, obviously. Anything we do with practice, practice makes perfect. Is it like this? Practice makes you perfect. So in the beginning, anything you start in the beginning is difficult. But because you don't know what's going to happen. When you first perform Nirjal Ekadasi, your mind attacks you, your tongue attacks you, your belly attacks you, your senses attack you. But then after you've done Nirjal several times, then you understand, oh, okay, here he comes. No, get lost. And then, because you have so much determination, it's called tapabalam, the strength of tapasya, that these waves of opposition or waves of lack of determination may come, but you simply reject, you throw them away. You don't have to entertain them. So you gave a very nice encouragement to others that yes, it was difficult at first, now it's easy, and please everyone do. And as far as the day before and day after, the day after Ekadasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stay up all night chanting Hare Krishna and Jagannath Puri. And the day after Ekadasi, Lord Chaitanya would have Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Akantapuriya Vaishnava Savadhan. And the day after Ekadasi, Lord Chaitanya would eat 56 preparations. Haribo! Jagannath Mahaprasad ki!
Jai.
So I'm always lamenting, why wasn't I born in Krishna Leela? Why wasn't I born in Gaur Leela? Because now, after Ekadasi, I take lemonade. I take some misri and lemon water to break Nirjal. I think, oh, if I was in Gaur Leela, I could have chapan bhog. So this is how Lord Chaitanya, if you want to follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, and the day before we don't hear anything, he was the day before he took Jagannath Mahaprasadam, because every day he would eat in some devotee's house in Puri, so he would take Jagannath Mahaprasadam, and then they're cooking, Bhagavan Acharya would cook, or different devotees would cook for him. So he took Mahaprasadam on Dasami, and on Ekadasi he did Nirjal, and the day after he took Jagannath Mahaprasad, that sounds like a very good program. I recommend it. When Dasami comes, oh, it's Dasami, I have to go to Jagannath Temple and take Jagannath Mahaprasad. And then you do that. Oh, it's Ekadasi, I have to do Nirjal. And you do that. Oh, it's Dwadasi. Oh, I have to go back to Jagannath Mahaprasad. I have to stay all day at the temple and eat 56 preparations. So I would think this would be a nice way to observe Ekadasi. Start with Jagannath Mahaprasad and then feel some separation for one day. And then have sambhog milan. Sambhog. Sambhog means meeting. And sambhog means all kinds of bhog. So Jagannath Mahaprasad is sambhog milan. So on Dwadasi, this is a very good idea. You're a very, like, yogi type, but Your example is very good.
No.
Srila Prabhupada ki. So I think we'll close on that. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.